The words that our Lord speaks at the beginning of today's gospel are frightening. Yet they proceed from the mouth of our Lord, who utters them in order to teach us the way to heaven. The Pharisees, who were they? Well, they were among the groups who opposed our Lord in his public life, and they calumniated his teachings. And they were the main ones to instigate all of the enemies of Christ and to put him to death. And they were the most dangerous of all the groups that opposed our Lord, because the people looked upon them as holy men who were dedicated to God, thinking that they were virtuous because of that stern observance of the external law. Yet they were hypocrites, our Lord calls them. Notice throughout the whole gospel, all of the gospels, how our Lord is so patient with the sinners that approach him. Yet he would not tolerate the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He called them out on almost every occasion that he could. He was obliged, you might say, to point out their sinful hypocrisy so that the people would no longer be deceived by these men. He called them whitewashed sepulchres. They liked to put on a show. They said that they would perform their prayers in public places, do their acts in public places, almost with the trumpet blown so that everyone can look at them and see just how holy they were. In other words, they observed all the externals of their religion, yet they ignored the whole spirit of the law. And so our Lord says to the Jews of that time, and ultimately to the Catholics of our time, if you want heaven, then your justice must abound more than that of the Pharisees. We must not simply put on an external show for others to see or to console our own heart. We must do the opposite of the Pharisees. We must observe, too, the spirit of the holy laws. In other words, our Lord says, see those Pharisees? If you want to get to heaven, don't follow them. He points them out for their hypocrisy. Again, they love to appear other than they were, but they did not love the truth. And so it was that St. John the Baptist called them vipers. St. John the Evangelist said that they love darkness rather than the light. And Christ called them whited sepulchres. Coming from our Lord, that is such a severe reproach. It means that on the outside they're all beautiful. Like the sepulchres of old, they were painted with white and they glistened in the sun. Yet on the inside they were filled with dead and rotting bones. That's what he said the Pharisees were. So what then is the justice that opens heaven? It is first the love of truth and the desire to know the truth and the will to put it into practice in our daily life. Why is it then that it's so important to know the truth, especially in matters of faith? It is because the truths of our faith place before our eyes a powerful incentive to virtue in our life. There are powerful means of salvation that always urge us to keep moving forward in the service of God with more and more determination, more and more effort and energy. And the more we are convinced of these truths of our faith, the greater determination we will have to live our faith, to become saints. It is not enough to say, Credo, I believe. It's not enough to say it and profess the faith with our lips. But we must also ponder, contemplate the truths of our faith. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah the prophet said, with desolation is all the land made desolate, because there is none that considereth in his heart. Applying that to the soul, if our souls are desolate, that is, lacking true virtue, then it is probably because although we know our faith and our catechism, we probably do not contemplate the truths of our faith. Ponder them. Consider them within your heart and how they apply to your day-to-day life. That's why all of the spiritual authors tell you that if you want to progress in the spiritual life, you must meditate. To know these truths is not enough. You must meditate, instill them in your mind so that they grow in your heart, so that then you begin to practice what you actually believe. How many of you will go home today after this sermon and consider it, ponder over it, take it to heart? Just to hear the words that I am saying in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, is not enough. You must take it home, sort of like a spiritual homework, and think about it, pray over it. The more we ponder the faith, the more influence it will have over our entire life. If we never contemplate these truths, then we will become like the Pharisees, who went through all the motions of the religion, the practice of their faith, through mere routine and habit. Why is it that you came to Mass today? Was it just because, well, it's Sunday and I have to? Why is it that you pray your daily rosary? It's a good thing that you're keeping up with these things. We won't take that away from you. But is it through mere habit, without thinking of how the Mass is the greatest form of worship that we can offer Almighty God, and through it gain so many graces, that one Mass is enough to make a man a saint? Is it because we want to be here and witness Calvary, our Lord dying mystically once more on the cross? And when you pray the rosary, is it through mere routine, or is it because you believe the power of the intercession of Our Lady, that whatever she asks of her Son will infallibly be granted? That after our Lord's human nature, she is the most perfect creature, worthy of the greatest honor. And one of the greatest honors we can pay her is to hail her full of grace in the rosary. The Pharisees, too, they knew and saw the life of Christ. They witnessed it, all of his virtues, but they never dreamt of imitating it. They prayed publicly to be seen, whereas our Lord told them that they should pray in secret and with recollection. How is it with us? We may not pray to be seen. I think that's probably not the case for most people. We don't pray to be seen by them. For many, though, we pray simply because it's a matter of habit. Making visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Did you but know who is there, you would stay a few minutes after Mass and make a visit. You would pray your rosaries better. Not pray through routine, but for the graces that come from them, the honor that you can do to Almighty God. You would be before the Blessed Sacrament, asking our Lord, Master, like the apostles said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray not with our lips only, but with our heart, so that we mean every single word that we say. Because if you pray that way, you'll be certain of gaining the things that you want. You'll be certain of growing in virtue. But if you pray your devotions out of habit, just reading through the words with a cold heart, you'll make little progress in the spiritual life. Thirdly, the Pharisees did not have the spirit of mortification. They fasted corporally. But beyond that, they did very little. But we Catholics must not only observe the fasts of the Church, but every day we must fast with our senses. To fast is to do without. We fast with our eyes when we turn them away from impurities and from vanities, and when we turn them to good and holy images. We fast with our tongue when we resolve not to speak uncharitably. And we fast with our hands when we do good with them instead of evil. Fourthly and finally, the Pharisees were so puffed up with themselves, with the love of themselves, that they knew nothing about the love of their neighbor. In fact, their charity towards their neighbor was so not there that they strove at any opportunity they had to pull people away from Christ, who is only here to lead souls to heaven. So in effect, they would rather see these men's souls damned to hell than to follow Christ. That is how much charity they lacked. If our charity is to exceed that of the Pharisees, then we must practice true love of neighbor. And that sometimes means great sacrifice and great self-forgetfulness on our part. Have you in the past led others into sin? There is no charity in that. Our life should be filled with works of mercy, visiting the sick, giving alms to the poor, instructing the ignorant. And yet, all we can see is that long to-do list that we have to take care of ourselves. Sometimes it's good to put on that to-do list, scratch out some of the less important things, and add, I'll go today and visit the sick. One of the works of mercy. And yes, we're all busy. But what is this busyness all about if we neglect the acts of charity? We are here not for our jobs. We are here to labor for heaven. We are here to practice the works of mercy, to worship God, and to cultivate virtue, and thereby to help others to heaven. To conclude, the Pharisees did all they could to work against our Lord and His mission. But we must further our Lord's mission, both in our own soul and in the souls of others. So the secret to heaven is quite simple. Let your justice abound more than that of the Pharisees, and you will enter the gates of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.